Chapter 14. The Swords of the Unforgotten Marys. Locke woke up and dressed quickly before turning to Slate and shaking his body to wake him up. Slate groggily opened his eyes as he gave Locke an icy glare. After a few moments, Slate adjusted his eyes to the sunlight shining through the window. Slate begrudgingly got up, grunting as he gathered his bags and got ready. They left their room and headed towards the food stalls to gather breakfast and water for their journey. As they left, Slate's eyes locked onto the drunken man from the previous night. Slate tightened his grip on his sword and glared at the man, which caused the man to tremble visibly. The man said nothing, simply staring back at Slate with fear. Slate and Locke continued walking, but Slate kept his eyes on the man until he couldn't be seen anymore.
They finally arrived at the horse stall, where Sage was kept, and they both patted Sage on the head. One by one, they put the supplies in the saddlebag and went into the forest towards the town.
There was silence for a few minutes. The only sound in the air was the wind blowing and birds chirping. But Locke disrupted the silence, which Slate enjoyed before Locke began talking. "Do you have any stories you want to tell me, Slate? I want to hear them. Oh! Can you please tell me how you got the scar on your chest? Oh, no, wait. Did you drink too much ale last night?" Locke bubbled with excitement. Slate just stared at Locke with a stunned gaze that pierced right through him. He then turned his head to look straight at the road. "All right, I'll keep quiet," Locke responded. After a few minutes of peaceful silence had passed when Locke suddenly shouted, "Look! Look at that beautiful bird that's humming! It has a long, skinny beak. What is it, Slate?" Slate spoke. "It is a hummingbird, a beautiful animal. But they are drawn to noise and will attack if they feel threatened. So you better be quiet, boy. They like the taste of young boy's blood," Slate said with a grin, hoping this would keep Locke quiet for at least another while.
"Oh, no. I didn't know that. I will remain quiet."
Slate sighed with relief and looked for somewhere they could rest. Slate started looking around and couldn't find any hills until he saw a goat, meaning a mountain could be nearby. So Slate directed Sage towards the goat's direction. And eventually, after riding that way for a mile or so, he saw a mountain with a cave. Slate grunted when he noticed only a few goats and a deer nearby. Slate looked at Locke. "We will check if the cave is safe to camp for the night, and we must leave first thing in the morning." Locke nodded. As they walked through the enormous entrance, the air turned heavy and dank, laden with cold, moist stone scent, while the stalactites hung above them. Slate jumped off the horse and looked at Locke. Slate put his index finger to his lips, so Locke nodded and remained quiet. Slate, while still holding the reins, guided the way through the cave, while his other hand held his sword tightly, as he listened carefully to his surroundings. All Slate could hear were the drips of water falling from the cave ceiling. Suddenly, a stone that was very close to them appeared to move. Slate turned around quickly, swung his hood, swiping the thin air. Locke burst out laughing. "What are you doing, Slate? Are you trying to kill the air? We need it to breathe." Slate glared at Locke. Slate pointed his sword at the stone. "Something moved. We're not alone in here." Slate walked towards the stone and kicked it, revealing a small hole in the wall. Slate crouched down and peered inside the hole, trying to see what was hiding in the shadows. Suddenly, a pair of glowing eyes appeared, staring back at him. Slate drew his sword, but the creature that emerged was not what he expected. It was a small, furry creature with a long tail and sharp teeth. Slate lowered his sword and chuckled. "It's just a rat." Locke bent down to get a closer look at the rat. "It's cute," he exclaimed. Slate rolled his eyes and continued walking through the cave, keeping his senses alert for any other surprises. After a few minutes, they reached a large area with a small stream running through it. Slate nodded in approval. "This will do. We need to camp here for the night." Slate spoke. "Let's gather wood and water for the stream. And boy, I have something significant for you. Loke looked at Slade with confusion as Slade took out his small sword and shield from Sage's saddle. Loke had butterflies in his stomach. Slade passed the sword to Loke. Now, this is yours. I will show you how to use it effectively once we get to Ollantis town. But I would like you to have it now, just in case you need it. I hope you will not need it. Loke looked at Slade with wide eyes. Thank you, I'll keep it safe. In the morning they left the cave and marched into night. The wind howled, the forest was eerily silent. The ghosts they had seen earlier were nowhere to be found. Slade stopped, gripped his sword, signaling for Loke to do the same. They crept, listening for any sound that could give away any danger. As Loke was about to speak, Slade shushed him. Slade advanced cautiously, scanning the forest for any sign of trouble. A screeching noise came from the left that caught their attention. Loke pointed it out and they headed towards the sound. Swords at the ready. Loke noticed blood stains on the leaves and tracks on the ground. I remember these marks, Slade, Loke said. My dad showed me how to track them. It looks like something was dragged through the ground, and the tracks remained the same. Whatever was dragged was probably already dead. Slade nodded. I agree, and that is why we need to be careful. They kept following the tracks until they reached the place where the dead remains of some deer were lying around. Their corpses had claw marks and bite marks. Strange. Why was the body left like that? Loke asked, covering his nose and blocking the smell. Slade responded, they must have killed it for, or it is washing us. Suddenly there was a loud screech and Loke pushed Slade out of the way just in time for Slade to avoid the Wolokus' attack. The Wolokus bared its sharp teeth, emitted a piercing howl. It glared at Loke with intense black eyes. Loke was about to run after Wolokus until Slade shouted, no! Loke looked at Slade, paused, and finally listened to Slade and stopped running towards the Wolokus. The Wolokus swung at Slade, hitting him and sending him flying into a tree. Slade retaliated with his sword, but it only made the Wolokus angrier. It tried to attack Slade again, but he dodged the attack and circled the Wolokus, waiting for the right moment to strike. Loke watched in horror as the creature hit Slade, sending him flying in another direction. The Wolokus then turned his attention towards Loke, but Slade quickly jumped on its back, driving his sword into his throat and severing its head. The Wolokus fell to the ground, defeated. Slade fell to the ground because of exhaustion, and Loke walked over to Slade and put his hand out to pick up Slade. Slade grabbed Loke's hand and said with a smirk, thank you for listening for once.
Once they got back to the camp, Loke went to sleep, while Slade's gaze remained fixated on the dancing flames. His mind was awash of unspoken thoughts. Slade's fingers closed around the hilt of his sword. Its handle was embedded with reminiscence of those he once held dear. Slade traced the runned trinkets that babbled gently, each sparking a memory of a face, a laugh, a shared moment from a life no longer present. Slade revisited the painful void by each loss, weaving through the tapestry of its past. His gaze shifted then to Loke. A silent plea arose within him, hoping against all odds that the young boy would be spared from the cruel hands of fate. Slade's heart weathered the loss of so many cherished souls, and the thought of losing another seemed too heavy a burden to bear.
Slade got up, grabbed the water jug and poured it on the fire to extinguish it. Slade then walked up to Sage, lying asleep on the ground. He patted his horse and put the water next to it. Slade lay in the middle of the cave to keep watch and protect Loke from any danger. He then fell asleep. The sun rose and illuminated the cave, glowing warmly on everything around them. Loke stirred from his slumber, only to be hit by a pungent smell and a gust of foul air. Loke realised it wasn't a dream and leapt up, screaming in horror, startling Slade and Sage. Slade immediately grabbed his sword. However, Slade quickly realised there was no threat when he saw only a curious goat sniffing Loke's hair and face. Loke wiped his face trying to shoo the goat away, but it remained persistent, licking Loke's face and attempting to chew on Loke's hair. Loke's patience won thin and he began to push the goat away, but it refused to budge until Loke stood up and the goat scampered off. Slate laughed, "A goat is not afraid of you, which means nothing will." Slate stopped laughing and spoke in a more serious tone. "You need to act more like a man than a helpless child. You know that. I will show you how in a few days. We should go now." Loke and Slate gathered up their teams. After packing everything, they put all of it on Sage's saddle bag and went on their way. Loke asked Slate, "Slate, can you please tell me about your sword's pommel? Why have you kept random parts of objects melted on it?" Slate sighed. "I was wondering when you'd ask me that." "Fine, I will tell you. One of the objects you see is the top of a paintbrush. Do you remember I told you about the lady who was my wife? I loved her dearly. I would give anything to hold her one last time. And I might add that she was a painter." Loke interrupted. "Was she a skilled painter?" Slate replied, "Does her skill matter? What was most important to me was her passion for it. She would sit outside for hours, deeply engrossed in painting nature. It brought her immense joy. Seeing her that happy always warmed my heart. I would often grab my still, sit beside her silently, and look at nature with her. We would laugh and enjoy each other's company without saying a word. Those are the times I remember the most. And that is why I carry the top of a paintbrush as a reminder of those cherished memories." Slade continued, "The other object you may see is part of a scissors handle. Can you guess why, Loke?" Loke shook his head, leaned forward, his eyes wide, and remained silent, listening to Slate. Slate continued, "There was this man I heard screaming, 'Go away!' I went to check why he was screaming, and I saw a bunch of bandits attacking the man who probably would have killed him once they had their fun. So I jumped off Sage and rushed to the man, got in front of the man and took the attack. But with the rage burning inside me that grew, I fought hard. I ended up killing one of the bandits and wounding the rest of them. So the carriage just ran off. And once they were gone, I fell to the ground and was unconscious. I probably wouldn't have survived the night without that man's help, who I saved." Slate looked at Loke, trying to get his attention. "You see, I woke up only a few times. And I could see the man struggling to get me on the hay wagon. But he did it somehow. I saw him forcing me to drink water and clean my wounds. And then he brought me to his home with his wife. They cared for my wounds, gave me medicine, and looked after me until I was ready to go." Slate exhaled deeply. "I took the scissors to remind myself that there are good people in the world, like that man who could have left me to die and robbed me, which someone would have done. But he helped a stranger he knew nothing about. It was an enormous risk. Those bandits could have returned any time to finish their job. He knew if he didn't help me, I would certainly die. During the time they cared for me, I saw them taking care of the people who were very sick. The wife would even go to the town to give medicine to the clinic that were low on supplies." Loke had caught up with the story and he interrupted, "Where are they now? Did they die?" Slate sighed, "Yes. They died because I was no longer there. The bandits wanted their supplies and hated that they lost to one man. So they waited until I was gone, killed a couple and robbed them. But I eventually found those bandits and made them pay. And so many people suffered because the couple was no longer alive to care for the wounded." Slate pointed to a unique thing on the pommel. "Another trinket you might see here is part of a soldier toy." Loke nodded. Slate began, "Well, I went to this town where I was living with my wife, and this town was the closest place to us. I would visit it regularly to get supplies. And every time I came to this town, there would be this young boy who reminded me of you. He was always energetic, wanted to see people, and couldn't keep his mouth shut. Well,
He came up to me the first time asking for coins because he desperately wanted this book, but he didn't want to ask his parents because they didn't have much and wouldn't be able to afford it. He said they would feel bad or buy it for him and not eat for days. Or at least that's what the young boy told me. So I gave him some coins and he said, thank you, and ran off excitedly. I saw him again when I returned to the village. And he ran up to me excitedly and said, thank you, mister. I got the book. I read it repeatedly and I know it by heart. Can I read you a part? I told him no, but I was happy the coins helped. And ever since that day, the boy would come up to me and tell me about his day. And he gave me this toy as a thank you. Slate sighed. Well, one day I didn't see him. And I got concerned. And I heard a scream. I ran. But unfortunately, the boy was killed by a griffin. After which I done the same to it. Slate continued. To be honest, that boy is one of the reasons I kept visiting your village. I heard about the creatures there and the children going missing. So I stayed close to prevent further incidents. I watched over you and your other children, mainly because you reminded me so much of him. Eager, carefree, and perhaps too trusting. I couldn't bear the thought of another child facing the same tragic fate. Slate continued. So, this is why I need to train you and prepare you just in case I am not around anymore, as I fear that something could happen to you. Loke interjected. I'm so sorry, Slate. And I understand why you don't talk much now.